In verse 13, what he speaks about is their faith. He says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." When the word was proclaimed during this time, it wasn't just taught without any means of verification. And of course, today, it cannot be proclaimed in that way either. In other words, we must show people that this message that we have believed ourselves and that we teach others is actually divinely given. Today, we point them to book, chapter, and verse. We say, this is why we believe what we do, because here's where the Word of God said. But before it was even given, fully written down, before it was in existence in its entirety, the New Testament, they had to verify the Word by the signs and the wonders that they performed in connection with the message that they spoke. So the brethren here in Thessalonica, when they initially believed, had heard a message, but also saw powerful wonders and works that were done that verified that the message, in fact, did come from God. These people saw, heard, and believed. What it indicates is receptive hearts. We might say, well, of course they would believe, they saw miracles. But that's not true. People saw miracles and didn't believe. Think of all the people that saw what Jesus did and did not believe on Him, rejected Him as the Son of God. Think of all the people during those days that saw the miracles performed by the apostles and still, in the hardness of their hearts, would not accept the truth. Today, we need to have this kind of faith that moves us to hear the message from God, believe that it is from God when we see that it's verified, that it is. Yes, we can see what God says. We can see that, yes, He teaches this or that, and then we devote ourselves to keeping it. They were people of faith. They heard the message and they knew this is not a matter of being something that comes from man, but this is in fact the message from God. We need to be able to distinguish between the two. A lot of messages circulate in this world today. There are many people who believe, but they don't believe in what is from God. They believe in what is from men. Believing in the truth that is from God is the only way to be saved, because notice what he says, the Word of God is what is able to effectively work in you who believe. God's Word is a powerful force to change lives. How is God's Word able to do this, effectively work in believers? How does that happen? The only way God's Word can change your life, can change my life, is if we first spend time putting it into our hearts. You can't be changed by something you don't know. That means we've got to spend time on a daily basis. It's like we always say, meditating upon the Word of God. You can listen to it when you're driving, when you get home at the end of the day, or at the beginning of your day before you even go. You can spend time meditating upon God's Word, letting it simmer in your mind throughout the day. You know, they say the brain works on problems even while you're sleeping. What about the understanding of the Scriptures? Passages that you would like to fully understand, you just keep going over that again and again, and you will be able to understand. God, through His Word, can change our lives, but not only do you have to know that information, so you're studying the Word, you also have a heart that is willing to do whatever God says. If God's Word is going to effectively work in your life, you've got to know it, but you've also got to be willing to do what it says. And they were. They were willing to do that. But in the next few verses, look at verses 14 through 16. Here we see their fortitude, because he mentions these believers as people who walked in the footsteps of brethren who were willing to suffer for their faith. For you, brethren, became imitators of who? The churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans. Now, the Judeans, of course, are the people that live in that area where Jerusalem is. And the Jews in that region were so hostile to Christians, they had done so, they had been hostile to the Savior himself. Notice verse 15, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men. The Jews were a body of people, a group of individuals, a nation of people who for the most part profess to be God-fearing, God-following people, but who actually, as he says here, did not please him because they rejected the truth that was proclaimed to them by the Messiah that they professed to believe in. What did they do? How did they affect the Christians of the first century and even the apostles themselves? Verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Here is a line of people who have been known for centuries to be people who reject God and His Word. Their forefathers had, he points out, the killing of the prophets that had taken place. Now they killed the Son of God. And they were opposing and persecuting the apostles who Christ sent out to spread the message of salvation. And he says what they're doing in doing this is filling up their sins. It's just like a cup that's just overflowing with sin, this nation. And eventually God would bring the final judgment upon this nation in AD 70 when Rome came and destroyed Jerusalem. And all of the records, the genealogies were destroyed. They could no longer, even if they wanted to, keep the law of Moses and be the nation that they desired to be because they didn't have the genealogies. The priesthood couldn't continue. And so they have a warped religion today and continue in the unbelief that their forefathers had. But what it reminds us of here is that we must be strong through trials and imitate the faithful. We must look at those who we can read about in the Scriptures, perhaps even brethren today who we know suffer for the cause of Christ, and remember, no matter what comes our way, we can persevere, we can be faithful, we can glorify and honor God even when times are hard because others have done it before us. And then the final thing that he mentions here in verses 17 through 20, it's Paul's fervent desire to be with them. These were family members. But as we brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Here was a separation from loved ones that has necessarily occurred. Paul passed from place to place and left brethren with the truth that they might continue in it, but now he wanted to be with them again and desired to be reunited with them. So he says in verse 18, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. You notice here a great spiritual bond. It is a reminder to Christians today. Do you have love? Do you have strong bonds between you and your brethren? Is there that which, when separation occurs, makes you long to see their faces again and be reunited? It was there for Paul because these souls were precious to him. And the evidence of that strong bond will be seen even on a day-to-day basis because there's opportunities to show care, to show compassion, to show that there is that desire to help and to assist and to minister to when hard times come to those surrounding us within our local body. Paul had a great love, but notice there is this problem of a barrier raised up. Satan will often try to hinder us in many different ways, including in how we can help one another and serve one another, but we must fight against him always. Paul looks at his brethren as just his great love, and he focuses on in the final two verses their salvation, which is going to be the source of his great joy. What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. Some souls within every congregation, doesn't matter if it's here or on the other side of the world, some souls within congregations are going to be lost. Why is that? Because Satan's efforts continue against God's people, and as it always is the case, souls drift away from the truth in life. Some are recovered, some are not. But what we have to remember is, look at this apostle who longed to be with his brethren, see them again, and why did he want that? Paul was always all about making sure they were staying faithful to the Lord, revisiting so that he could encourage them, build them up, make sure that they were faithful. If not, he would rebuke and chastise them. Why? Because he wanted to see them stand before the Lord one day as faithful servants prepared and who could inherit eternal life. And that was his glory, that was his joy. We need to have this same love for one another and concern for one another and the heart that looks out for one another, because we long that everyone be saved in the end. But that's a tough job. It requires a lot of dedication. It requires sacrifice. It requires overcoming fear to tell each other and help each other in ways that are not always easy to do. And yet that's what Paul saw as his end work. And the consequence would be, look at the wonderful salvation that we have to look forward to. Tonight, if you're not yet a Christian, that salvation is not something you can hope in, because only through the blood of Jesus Christ are sins forgiven. And that is made possible through our own turn to the Lord and obedience to His will, faith, repentance, confession, and the baptism that brings us into the family of Christ. If you've not done those things, tonight's an opportunity to do that. If you need to understand further what all that means, we can study with you. But if you're a child of God already, we ask you to think about where you stand before God tonight. Are you a person of great faith who's persevering through difficulties? Has Satan enticed you into sin? Do you need strength? Can we pray for you? You have a family here who cares, and if we can help you, we'd be glad to do that as we stand and sing.